When the Fed moved to stimulate the economy, did it consider nasty side effects like higher oil prices?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiotakis. The cost of crude has been up as much as 6% since the Federal Reserve took new action to jumpstart the economy. It's worth noting that oil producers deal in dollars, and if those dollars are worth less, they want more of them to pay for their product. But investors are also looking for the best way to grow their money. And Dave Hackett tells us they're putting their faith in oil and other necessities. He's an energy consultant with Stillwater Associates. Mr. Hackett, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good. Why this relationship between what the Fed is doing and rising oil prices?
Well, investors know that or suspect that the price of the dollar is going to go down. The dollar will weaken. And therefore, they're fleeing to from the dollar into other commodities, and oil is one.
So what happens from here? Do crude prices keep trending higher?
Well, that gets to be a really good question. What you can see clearly is that there's an inverse relationship between the dollar and crude oil prices. And so when the dollar goes down, crude oil strengthens. On the other side, if the dollar starts to strengthen, and it may be doing that, then crude oil prices will weaken.
But at this point of this time of the year, crude oil prices normally would be doing what?
Normally this time of the year, crude oil prices go down. This is the season where oil prices, crude oil and gasoline and heating oil prices, tend to peak around now and then go down into the spring.
We'll keep our fingers crossed that happens. Dave Hackett at Stillwater Associates, thanks for your insights.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Wall Street's in a sour mood right now. The Dow has slipped 52 points, nearly half a percent. The NASDAQ has sliced off a tiny fraction of a percent. The broader S&P 500 is down almost half a percent. President Obama is set to return to a familiar place tomorrow. He spent 4 years in Indonesia as a boy. And now, as he continues his Asia tour, he'll be spending less than 24 hours in a country with one of the continent's most vibrant economies. The BBC's Guy Delaney reports.
Along with China and India, Indonesia was among the only members of the G20 to avoid recession during the global financial crisis. Now it's getting ready to sign a comprehensive partnership agreement with the US. But analysts are skeptical whether this wide-ranging tie-up will bring any benefit to Indonesia. Professor Azumadi Azra of Jakarta's State Islamic University is one of the doubters.
American investment in Indonesia is very low, but I think it is difficult for Indonesians to expect the so-called comprehensive partnership would be implemented in a full swing because of the problem of American economy, political problem, domestic political problem also in the US.
Domestic demand is what's been driving the Indonesian economy forward. Strong exports of everything from garments to gas have played their part, and the stock market has been booming. But US firms have been losing out in Indonesia to their Asian rivals. A big order for Boeing planes from a local low-cost airline comes as some consolation, but the Obama administration has put Indonesia at the top of its list of six countries where the US could and should do better. In Jakarta, I'm the BBC's Guy Delaunay for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
What happens when the fuel taxes that pay for most of our roads are lost to more efficient cars and better mass transit? In the first of a series on the future of transportation, Kathy Ducham looks at one alternative to the gas tax, something called congestion pricing.
To understand the concept of congestion pricing, we take a ride on the Washington, D.C. Beltway with David Lewis. He's a transportation economist with the consulting firm HDR. Right now, the lanes we drive in are toll-free. With congestion pricing...
You see that steel girder that crosses the road?
Right.
That would be mounted with cameras and electronic devices.
Those devices would record when we cross from a free lane into a designated toll lane that's moving faster.
And at the end of the month, you'd get a bill for making that trip.
That's the way congestion pricing works. Instead of a tax on the amount of gas you use, you get taxed on the miles you drive, and you pay more to drive in the peak commute. Lewis says, think of it like a surcharge for a movie.
No one objects to paying more to go to the movies on a Saturday night than they pay to go to the matinee.
Lewis says even the most skeptical drivers will pay the tolls when they see less traffic.
So if we could reduce the volume of traffic that we're stuck in right now by 10%, our speed might go up by 20%.
Congestion price lanes can be found in California and Colorado. There's also one on the Virginia side of D.C. On the Maryland side of the Capitol, there are plans for a highway where all lanes will be tolled. It's called the Intercounty Connector. As you'd expect, there's opposition.
Very concerned that the tolls are going to be charged will price many of the public off the road.
Phil Andrews is a county councilman in the suburbs where the new highway is under construction. Andrews agrees people should pay more for transportation. But he says 25 cents a mile, the approved rate for the new highway, is too much. Andrews wants to revisit the gas tax.
I think the gas tax needs to be raised each year by a nickel to a dime until it's producing enough revenue to fund the transportation projects that we need.
But policymakers wonder about the day when we're all driving electric cars. There won't be much gas to tax. That's one reason why support for congestion pricing continues to grow. In Gaithersburg, Maryland, I'm Kathy Duchamp for Marketplace.
And finally, see if you can spot the entrepreneurial opportunity in this. Kids who can't bring their cell phones to class. Enter a man with a plan, mobile storage for mobile phones. The New York Daily News reports today more than 700 students are paying a dollar each every school day to leave their phones with an enterprising businessman. He's parking panel trucks outside a couple of schools in the Bronx so the kids can retrieve them as soon as school's out. And if you think that's a sign of the times, consider this quote from one of the high schoolers. I need my phone in case someone tries to hold me up or stab me. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You remember Knight Rider, the talking car? Well, the future's here, and it'll even compliment you.
And we find that that type of flattery encourages drivers to feel like, gee, the car cares about me, the car's thinking about me, and the car thinks I'm smart.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. No need to keep your eyes on the road or your hands upon the wheel. A story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.